This week on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Season 2, Episode 9 of TMNT Classic, Splinter No More. I'm King Cowabunga.
And I'm Pizza Tossin' Gub.
And you're listening to Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Episode 14. Happy New Year, everybody.
Welcome.
Here we are. We're ringing in 2016. Yeah, we're a little late, but whatever. Screw you. You don't pay for it.
No. There it is. Free. It's free entertainment.
Free. There it is. If I ever get an email, hey, yo, I noticed it. Well, you know, it's free. There. And you know, on top of that, Pizza Tossing Gump, he's got a headache, too.
A little bit of a migraine today.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a migraine because his job is hard.
I've been stressed.
Is it because of your job?
Do you feel like it's probably.
I think so.
I'm a little stressed.
I think so.
I do have my Powerball ticket, though.
Are you serious?
Fuck yeah, I'm serious.
Are you? Oh, don't be that guy.
I got a Powerball. You can't win if you don't play.
You know what has balls and screws poor people?
The government?
The lottery. Jesus, man.
I don't play, like, all the time, but I'm... Let's be, like, come on.
No!
It's $1.5 billion.
No!
I'm gonna play.
Wait, okay. What's the difference between $1 million and $1 billion for you? Are you gonna spend $1 billion in your lifetime?
No.
So why don't you play the $1 million lottery?
Well, I guess someone's not benefiting from my $1.5 billion. Are they, King Cowabunga?
Whatever, it's fine. I don't care. It's one of these things. I just sit here and go, what? How much did you? How many tickets did you buy?
One.
Okay, you bought one ticket. What did it cost you?
It's $2 a number.
$2 per number.
$2 per number. The five numbers that you pick.
Did you box them?
What do you mean?
I don't know how the lottery works, but
you pick five numbers, right? You pick five numbers, like,
and it can come in any order.
No, it's five numbers and a Powerball. You have to get all of them and the Powerball specific, like, to get the whatever $1 billion.
I think it's called boxing numbers, where you pick, let's just say, six numbers, right? And you don't have to pick the order.
No, that's not how Powerball works. Anyway, so
you can't box numbers in Powerball.
No.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway.
Go ahead. All right. So this is episode Splinter No More.
Splinter No More.
So Splinter plays the lottery in this episode, actually.
We're leaving that in.
I'm not cutting anything out. I'm lazy.
I don't care.
So Splinter buys some Powerball tickets.
That's how this episode starts.
That would be kind of great, actually. My lottery tickets and both quicker? Yes, Master Splinter.
No, that's what Krang would send Shredder out to get for him.
Krang doesn't get drunk.
No, Krang would send... Did you get my numbers? Get my numbers.
Shredder, did you get my lotto tickets? Yeah, because, you know, Krang, he needs more money, right? He has a technodrome. He has all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit in this episode that hasn't been addressed before. It might have been. We'll go through it when we get to it.
Krang is my favorite scene in this episode, hands down. You know what scene I'm thinking of.
I know exactly what
scene. There's no way.
I wrote it down.
The funniest part of the whole episode.
We'll get there.
All right, so let's start it off. So, okay, Raphael... No.
Mikey's running through the sewers, bringing them pizza.
Of course. Because this is how they start every episode now.
He's wearing a trench coat because he went up on land to get pizza. He brings it back, and everyone's happy for the pizza except for Splinter.
Yes.
But then he bought Splinter sushi, right?
Right, and Splinter doesn't even want to eat it.
But Splinter's, like, no, not hungry. They're like, oh, man, Splinter's bummed. Splinter's fucking bummed.
He's upset. He doesn't want to eat the sushi.
So they think he's upset because he wants to be human again.
That's right.
Which is, I guess that makes sense, right?
I mean, if I wouldn't like to be a rat man. It doesn't sound very good to me. He lives in a sewer with a bunch of turtles who are idiots.
Well, to be honest, before the turtles came, he still lived in the sewer.
That's true.
Like, that aspect of his life has not changed.
I don't think he was going to stay in the sewer.
Well, in what little we know about Splinter post-Turtles, in New York City post-Turtles, he made no effort to get out of the sewer.
Let's think about this for a second. Splinter's life is actually improved because Shredder exists. What else would he do all day?
Yeah.
Hang out in the sewer? Eat garbage?
He did nothing before.
Did nothing before. At least this, you know, the Shredder gives him a purpose. Kind of weird. Never thought about it like that. Anyway, so Donatello finds some of the original ooze. They have it for some reason in a little jar that was used to make them and Splinter.
Yeah.
And he theorizes that he can use that to turn Splinter human again.
Yeah.
And he does. And what's great is before he does it, Splinter goes, "Well, you know, I do have all those good abilities of being a rat that are useful."
Like, which is like, has he been useful as a rat?
No, not at all. Not even once. I mean, maybe one time, you know, I missed it. But in general, he doesn't really use his rat. What, does he bite through a board? I mean, he doesn't do anything. I mean, he did give his Shredder that epic kick.
Oh, yeah, the kick in the chest.
That was episode 7.
Okay, best.
That's got to be, I think, the second episode of season 2. I don't remember. So anyway, outside of giving him a kick, which you could have done as a human, he doesn't do anything. But in this episode, he goes, "Well, I have night vision and, you know, good sense of smell."
Yeah.
And I'm going, okay, because there's been lots of moments in the show where he's in the dark and he, you know, can find out what to do. So anyway.
And also the fact that Donatello has this piece of mutagen that he's never brought up ever before.
That I just literally go, okay, whatever.
Yeah, because you have to.
You just go, oh, whatever. They got to get it all in one episode, you know? Got to fit, right?
Yeah, but then they're also worried that he would just leave them if he turned them human.
Right.
Which is
Understandable. He turns human. He gets a job. You know, he gets some girlfriend. I don't think, baby, we're going to go live in the sewer with the turtles. I don't think she'd be about
that. Well, he has no money, so what else is he going to do?
I'll get a job. I'll go teach martial arts.
I guess. Anyway, yeah.
Shredder does it. Shredder teaches martial arts.
He did at one time at that one school.
When he took over that school.
Yeah. And then we cut to April and Irma.
It's Irma.
At the library doing a public service announcement.
Don't do drugs. That's what it should have been.
And Irma's like bugging her. Like, do you know the turtles? Are you cool with the turtles?
She misses the turtles.
This episode, more than ever, she bugs April a lot about the turtles.
Yeah, the whole episode.
It's very weird.
Every scene with her basically is her going, I guess you'll call the turtles. You know, keep trying to. Like, Irma's trying to catch her to admit that she knows the turtles.
This is the first time Irma's bugging her about something other than a man.
That's true. I think this is the first time Irma says anything outside of a man.
Yeah, she's just, before she's just like a
man crazy.
Boy, yeah, man crazy.
Well, maybe she's calling over Alfredo or whatever that Dago's name is so she can get a piece of that on the side.
She's
just getting a D.
Yeah, maybe.
It's the 80s, you know? Just get some of that D.
Yeah, maybe. But then at the library, they see BM and Rocksteady walking into the back room.
And aren't they wearing hoodies?
Yeah, they're wearing, like, tracksuits.
Which is kind of great.
It's kind of great.
I thought they looked really cool. I actually legitimately like that design.
The tracksuits. How they look fucking... That's dope. You got a breakdance.
Yeah, exactly. They're thinking about the bust out some breakdancing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they see... April sees them in the library and feels the need to tell the turtles.
Yeah.
So the turtles go over there to take care of business. Wait, no? What am I doing? All right, go ahead.
No,
No, I'm sorry. We got to cut back to Splinter.
Yeah, when she called them, after she called them, they build the, they make the thing, the spray out of the mutagen that turns Shredder back into a human.
That's right.
And then he goes up to check out the world.
Yeah, that's right. And I love, by the way, is when he turns into a human, he gets a suit.
Yes! He has a kimono on, right?
He still has the thing he wears.
But then he has slacks and a dress shirt and a tie on.
Yes, that's right.
Which is fucking weird.
Which is great. But, you know, whatevs.
No, so when he's up there, and he gets like accosted by everyone. Like everyone's like fucking like get out of my way.
Oh, he's in New York City.
But then there's the part where he tries to hail a taxi, right?
Well, no. What happens is he's walking down the street and he goes, "It is nice to take a walk as a human." And then it cuts to this big, bulky, you know, '80s muscle guy.
Yeah, beefy dude.
A blonde flat top haircut, and he goes, "Out of the way!" And then he goes, "Maybe I should not walk anymore." Taxi cab. And then the cabbie comes up, and the first thing the cabbie asks him goes, "You got any money in those pajamas?"
Right. And then the cabbie says no. And then the next shot.
Splinter says no. And then the cabbie.
Yeah, tells him to fuck off and drive it away.
Basically.
But that shot where the cabbie drives away, like the way it's set up, the car was like on the side. If you look at it after it drives away, he drove over the sidewalk. So it's like the taxi was like, "Someone wants to ride my car," screech, onto the sidewalk. He's like, "You got any cash?" "No." Bam, out. Since Splinter can't get a cab ride, he decides to go to the park. Mm-hmm. But we all know what's in the park.
Criminals.
Muggers.
So they try to mug him, and he starts to sweat, and then it turns out he's turning back into Rat Splinter.
So which means, like, Donatello's spray lasted him all of what? 10 minutes at the most?
Pretty crappy. Well, it was an experiment.
Yeah, well.
Let's be real. I mean, the fact that he's even able to make it is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That makes sense.
It's not exactly, you know, it's just his theory. I think this will work, and then it automatically does. Here's my idea. It works.
Yeah. I don't know. The fact that, like, no matter what the alien technology is or weird thing they find, the fact that Donatello can always fix it, make it work, is kind of the biggest deus ex machina of the show.
It moves the plot.
It just moves the plot. It's moving that plot along.
Well, again, it's all the episodes are one episode usually.
Yeah, they're standalone, so they have to.
Look, as somebody who has to write scripts a lot that are very short, I understand.
Yeah.
You gotta move that pot. You gotta move
I was watching Twilight Zone the other day, and I was like, man.
Love it.
The writing on Twilight Zone, oof.
Out of control.
Perfect.
So Splinter begins to realize that people treat each other like crap. That's what he begins to figure out pretty quickly.
Right.
Especially in New York City.
Yeah, everyone in New York City is terrible in this, and it's not that far from the truth.
I was gonna say, That's not only in the show.
But then we cut after Splinter gets his ass kicked by New York City and all its inhabitants. We cut back to the library where Shredder is looking through books and explaining his plan.
Yeah, that's pretty great, actually. So it turns out Bebop and Rock sitting in the library with Shredder, who's reading a book in a robe and hood, which is great. I like how Shredder goes through a street disguise when he's a human being. I love this. I love this aspect of the show.
Yeah, it's like...
And also, whatever happened to his Ray that... is Ray with the punk frogs.
Yeah, that didn't break. That still exists.
He still has it, you know? But, you know, whatever. That doesn't exist anymore for some reason. So, he discovers that there is an abandoned subway tunnel that used to be used to... open other portals to dimensions and people
for worship activities.
Yeah, because you could just find this in the library, by the way, your local library.
And it was a spell that opened the portal to dimension X.
No, it opens the portal to any dimension. It's just to get dimension X.
He had the spell that opened it directly to dimension X.
Yeah, that's
because right. The spell, whatever, at the end. It's supposed to say X, and he gets interrupted, and it causes the weird thing to happen at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're going ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, so I love. So during this, the turtles appear.
Yeah.
And I love how easily Shredder defeats them. It is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And it also makes no sense. So the turtles break in on Shredder, you know, after he, you know, first off, let's point something out here. If I'm understanding this correctly, what crime did Shredder commit? He read a book that was in the
public. Shredder.
But that's not a crime. He didn't do anything illegal. Well,
previous crimes.
He went to the library. He just read a book.
He's got previous crimes.
So the turtles appear, and Bebop and Rocksteady are there, and Shredder throws a ninja star at them. It hits the bookcase behind them and explodes. And everybody and the turtles just get blown up. Like books fall all over them. And there's this really funny shot of one of the turtles is buried in books, and his foot is sticking out. I think it's Michelangelo. He just easily defeats them.
Yeah.
No effort.
That would be the first time he easily defeated them.
Yeah, and then the other time where they easily, and other times where they easily defeated him.
Yeah. God, that pizza episode.
I want pizza. So, what ends up happening, so they easily defeat the turtles, and he leaves. And he tells Bebop and Rocksteady to kill the turtles.
Yeah. And they fail. You know,
they fail because the turtles wake up from their exploded.
And now they're awesome. Now they're awesome at kung fu and can beat everyone.
Well, it's not that they weren't awesome before. If somebody throws a grenade at you and it blows up, it's not really. You can't really do much about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, I should have ninja flipped further. and to be fair, he threw a ninja star. He didn't throw a grenade or a cartoon bomb. You know, something that's obviously an explosive. It was so random. It wasn't, you know, they could have had him say, I'll take care of these turtles. He throws a ninja star, it explodes. How do you like my new exploding ninja star? You know, or something to explain why it would blow up.
Right.
But no.
No.
And so Bebop and Rocksteady are supposed to finish them off. They wake up, they fail, you know, they beat the crap out of Bebop and Rocksteady. I assume they run away.
Yeah, Bebop and Rocksteady just run out the door, and the turtles chase them, and they slam the door, and the turtles just run right into the door, and they go, man, they got away.
Is that how they get away?
That literally is how they get away in this episode.
They
don't even try to open the door after they run into it. They're like, fuck, they got away. That's it. We can't find it.
Exit! Stage right, even!
Yeah, exactly! Like, they're right on the other side of the door.
This week on Snagglecast.
Snagglecast.
Snaggle Pusscast. And Elfcast.
Yeah,
Cheerscast.
Cheerscast.
Twilight Saved by the Bellcast. Twilight Zonecast. We also need a Boy Meets World cast. We need to get that in there.
Oh, I went. I have all that on my computer, and I've been going through it.
I love it. Oof. I watched
it. It's a little rough in the beginning.
Oh, I don't watch the first season or two.
Yeah, you gotta. I think at a point when I watch a show, when like I'm gonna watch the whole show, I'm gonna watch the whole show. So like I watch all of Saved by the Bell, those first seasons. Oof.
Saved by the Bell.
Kelly Kapowski is not in the first season.
What? Then why even watch it?
Yeah, why watch it?
What kind of show was Saved by the Bell the first season? Was it one of these, you know?
No.
The more you know kind of shows?
No, like Saved by the Bell was originally about the teacher.
What teacher?
Miss Bliss.
Who the hell is Miss Bliss?
The English, the British lady that taught them, the blonde British lady.
I don't even remember this.
She's only in the first season. So originally Saved by the Bell was a show called Good Morning Miss Bliss that was going to be about the teachers talking to each other, a sitcom about teachers and students involved. But then when they started airing it, they realized everyone liked Zach Morris a lot, so they made Zach the star and got rid of, like, retooled it entirely. Like, in the beginning, it's like Zach, Lisa, Screech, this other kid, and this other lady, this other girl, other kids. This, like, I think maybe AC Slater is in it a little bit, but it's mostly five kids.
So is it kind of like, was it trying to be Welcome Back, Kotter in the 90s?
Ish, yeah.
Okay.
But then, like, I think halfway through season one, they retool it and it becomes Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, here we go. So, Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
Yeah.
Haskins was one of the characters. That's Mr. Belding. Yeah, wow.
There were other teachers.
That's really funny. I had no idea. See, I wouldn't even watch that. So you're telling me you go through the trouble of watching the first few seasons of Boy Meets World. Yeah, they're terrible.
Yeah.
Although I do remember when I was, I remember there was like an episode where Corey, like they got this Marlon Brando wannabe bad guy Harley Connor or something like that.
Oh yeah,
Harley Kiner. I forget his name. The bully in Boy Meets World. And there's an episode where he meets this girl and she's pretty and she's really aggressive and all this stuff. Do you remember this?
Maybe.
And then it turns out she's that guy's daughter.
Oh yeah.
I say daughter, sister. And then but the whole joke the whole time is she basically is all over him. And I remember being a kid going, man, I wish some hot girl was all over me when I was 12 years old. That's what the show was all about. And Topanga was incredibly weird.
Yeah, and then she became hot.
And she became hot and her character changed.
She became normal. They're like, you know what?
She's normal now because her character's hot. So
yeah. Man, what?
Have you seen Girl Meets World?
No.
First off, just right out the gate, one of the biggest problems with that show is that the characters from Boy Meets World who are on the show, they act exactly the same.
Really?
That's not going to work. The whole dynamic of Boy Meets World is it's about a kid growing up and it's like the kid is wacky and like these funny adventures. The problem with Girl Meets World is the kid, the guy who plays Corey, now he's an adult, he acts exactly the same as he did on Boy Meets World. So he's the main character, right? Or he's like constantly stealing the spotlight. He's, you know, look how wacky I am. I'm like, no, you're supposed to be the dad on the show now. You're the dad. That's what you are, okay? And then he'll have moments where, you know, he's the dad. But overall, you know,
I've never seen an episode of the new. I have no interest in it whatsoever.
That was the first thing I thought right away. This does not work. This is not the same show. This is just not the
same show.
We're gonna shoehorn in this little girl, and you know, it's Girl Meets World.
Does it do well? I don't know.
It does. I think it's pretty popular. But yeah, and that's Boy Meets World.
So where were we?
Bill
Murray escaped the door, right?
That's right.
And the turtles are like, fuck, what do we do? And then they find a sheet of paper that had fallen out of the book.
That's right.
That tells them, oh, there was an underground subway terminal, an old subway terminal that they were using, a cult was using that Shredder's going to go to and figure out like a spell or something. And they had to find it. But they have no idea how to find it because there's a million subway tunnels.
Right.
Right.
I love that there's this abandoned subway tunnel used by occultists. Yeah. There was all these weird, you know, rumors and conspiracy theories about New York City subway stuff.
Yeah.
There's rat people who live in it.
The mole men? That's true, though. The underground people are true.
What's true?
Underground? No, not rat people, but like people.
I was going to say, that's not true. There's no rat people.
No, it's not rat people. But I mean, the mole men, the people that live down there. Like, they're human beings that live down there.
What do they eat?
They go up to get shit. There's a documentary on it.
There's not.
Absolutely. Down there or something?
No way.
Absolutely. So they find the... So they get the sheet of paper, right? The turtles do. Saying that they're going to a subway terminal. They call April because April did a documentary on subway stations. So she gives them a videotape of this, and that helps them find it.
That's right, because it's pre-internet.
Yeah,
that's how you find things.
Yeah, but in the meantime, Shredder's on his way down to the station.
Mm-hmm.
But then he calls Krang.
Gotta check in with Krang.
Yeah, and what is Krang doing when he calls?
Oh my god! So
I was trying to set you up. But you did not.
I missed it for a second. Okay, so he calls Krang, and Krang answers the thing in a towel
and a shower cap.
But here's the best part: Krang goes, "All right, we're just in the shower." Now you would think Krang would be in the shower, but no, Krang in his robot suit was in the shower, and it's Krang's big stupid robot suit. Krang inside, wearing a shower cap, a soap on the rope. Around his neck. In the towel. Oh my god.
It's so good.
It was so funny. Oh, it was so funny.
Hold on. Where was that? He's...
What is it, Shredder? I was taking a shower.
There it is. There it is. And he's soaking wet.
He's soaking wet.
Soaking wet. He could not be any more wetter. Jeez. And you got a little shower cap on.
Ugh. First off, the shower cap is really ridiculous because he has no hair.
No, and then the little antenna that's on top of the robot sticks through the shower cap. So it makes even less sense.
Somebody must have had a lot of fun drawing that.
Oh yeah, they were like, you know, it's been a while since there's a joke in this. Since anything fun has ever happened in this episode.
There's a big puddle of water on the floor.
But then so Shredder calls him for a specific reason to ask for the neuro whatever it is called.
The device that makes the turtles fight each other.
It's called the Neural Scrambler. Which, did Shredder use that before?
I don't think so.
I feel like that was used in a previous episode, but I can't remember.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
it may have been.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
So then he Krang sends it to him.
I love the way the robot's arms are drawn in that pose when he's sitting there with his arms to his side. There's something so ridiculous and fun about that. It's just really bubbly and circular and muscly arm. It's like a lot of fun to draw. I draw one right now, as a matter of fact. Bam!
Yeah.
Right in the sketchbook. Right in there.
It's so weird that he's like...
What's going on with his traps? What does he have, a surfboard on his back? You see that little thing?
Yeah. I thought that was the back of his shower cap, but then I realized that would be like a shower cap do-rag if it was like that. That's just his traps.
Shower cap do-rag. I don't think your traps come from your eyes. You know, maybe if you're a robot, they do. But,
yeah, the fucking robot. It doesn't matter. The robot.
Oh, he doesn't.
Yeah.
So he sends him the thing, even though he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Shredder uses it, and then when the turtles come up on him, you know, it works, and the turtles start fighting each other. When the turtles are going to go get Shredder, the turtles start fighting each other instead.
Yeah, but in the meantime, Splinter has run into the sewer, too, and the cops are chasing him into the sewer.
Mm-hmm. Well, because everybody's chasing after Splinter because he's a rat.
Yeah.
This is the most – So when Splinter starts turning back into a rat – you know, he's like this weird half-rat.
Yeah.
You know, he's not fully Splinter yet.
I actually really like the design of him, a half-rat. It
looks pretty good.
Kind of looks like a monkey, though. It doesn't look rat-ish.
A little bit like a monkey. And suddenly, New Yorkers are very concerned about this. It's a big deal. They all want to do is fight him, yeah. Because if I saw a giant, you know, rat freak running around the street, I would go after it. That's what I would do. That's a New York thing to do. Because New Yorkers care about the community. They care about other people. New York is the I was talking to somebody at work about this. I said New York is the example of a place in the world where you literally can see somebody get stabbed and just keep going to work. It is that place. If you're nice, maybe you'll call 911.
Yeah.
Maybe. But if you are smart, you won't. That's right. You don't want to call the cops on somebody who stabbed somebody. They might stab you. It's better just keep going. Has to move. Not that I've ever seen that.
No.
You ever seen anybody get stabbed?
No.
You lived in a rough neighborhood for a while.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't think I've seen anyone got stabbed.
Somebody tried to sell you a screwdriver once, right?
a necklace? Your parents. Screwdriver too. Yeah, screwdriver as well. Yeah, that happened.
Worked at your parents' convenience store and some guy came in and tried to sell you a screwdriver.
Yeah, my dad was like, don't touch that. Don't handle that.
It had dry blood on one end of it. It was used as a shiv.
No, he just didn't want my fingerprints on it anyway.
That was used to kill somebody. We don't need you to touch that.
That's yeah.
So funny. So anyway, these New Yorkers are very concerned about Rat Splinter, and then he runs into the subway, and the cops feel the need to chase him, and then he gets away into the subway tunnel, and then April says, hey, you guys shouldn't fight each other, and they stop fighting each other in the name of Splinter, and then they find Shredder, who's opening the portal he's going to open the portal, and he has Bebop and Rocksteady with him, and he stations them. Oh, this makes me laugh, actually. So he walks into this room, and it's where he, like, you know, casts a spell or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a room with a little altar in the middle of it, and railroad tracks.
Yeah.
On both ends.
It's not a station. There's no platform.
Yeah, so this is just an area where trains just used to go through?
Yes, trains just went through here.
Just went through there, and somebody put an altar there.
Yep.
And then he tells Bebop and Rocksteady to hide and set their gun to stun. Now that's how you know someone's going to get shot.
Someone's about to get shot.
If they say, make sure to put the gun on stun, because we can't just have Bebop and Rocksteady murder the main characters. So then the turtles come in the room and they get shot.
Yeah.
And April gets shot too. And then Splinter appears.
And they're stunned.
They're stunned. And then Splinter appears because he smells incense. Because he's got his... This is the only time his rat ability is useful. And I'm actually kind of surprised that the writers went through the trouble of connecting something he said at the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
They don't usually do that.
Well, this isn't one of those crazy what's-his-name episodes where shit don't make no sense.
Larry Parr.
Larry Parr.
Gem of Zorgoth or whatever it's called. The Eye of Sargon.
Yeah.
So then Splinter appears, and he helps the turtles. And now what I like about when Splinter appears is he's full Splinter. He's full rat. But he's still wearing the button-up shirt and tie underneath his robe.
Yeah.
And pants. He still has the pants, too. And then they defeat... what happens is... Oh, actually, I messed this up. So when Splinter appears, he says, stop! And it screws up Shredder's spell.
Yeah, because he's going to say something... Like, the spell rhymes, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, something, flex, whatever it is. Open
flex.
A portal to dimension. And then Splinter yells and goes, what? And then the portal opens, and it's not to Dimension X. It's to, I don't know what.
Dimension what, I guess.
Dimension whatever, but then it's this fucking weird, you know,
alien.
Looks like the Beholder from D&D.
Yeah, that's a good example. It's a brain with an eyeball in the middle of it, and a beak, and tentacles. And it's just there, hanging out, and it feels the need to attack people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, things do. And that's what I would do if somebody opened a portal. You know, if, let's just say for sake of argument, there were other dimensions that we can go there, right? If suddenly I saw a portal in front of me, I'd walk out of it and just kick the crap out of whoever opened it.
Yeah.
That would be my first thing I would do. Who opened this portal? I need to kill them.
And then, yeah, when they... Well, there's also a scene we missed April finds the neuro thing, neuro scrambler, whatever it's called.
Oh, right. I thought she just tells them to stop fighting.
No, she tells them to stop fighting, but then she finds it in a cave, throws it up in the air, and they all throw all their weapons at it.
At like, one.
At the neuro scrambler.
Because one wasn't enough.
Yeah, and they're like, we need to fuck this shit up real bad.
That's right. And they do.
So then the spell happens, and the behemoth comes through. I mean, the beholder.
Beholder pushes up glasses. I think you mean Beholder.
We gotta get a D&D game going. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta do a lot of things. Okay. A lot of things I gotta do.
I designed a new character.
Mm-hmm.
For a future D&D campaign.
And Mrs. Pizza Toss and Gub?
Mrs. Pizza Toss and Gub. Without. I'm trying to think of a clever name, but I can't think of one. Mrs. Gub without.
Pizza.
My pepperoni. That's so dumb.
Go on.
Basically, Dragonborn, Wizard.
Yeah, I know a Dragonborn.
Dragonborn,
yeah.
Wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Really likes spicy foods. Breathes fire. His name? Guy Fiery.
Oh, that's really good.
He's Guy Fieri. And a dragon. And a wizard.
That's a pretty good idea. You know, I don't like the idea of Dragonborn because I'm very old school D&D person. This isn't a character class you could just use. This isn't a race that should be playable.
Yeah.
But dragons would make good wizards.
Anyway.
That's magic. Anyway. This week on D&D Cast.
We should. I want to do an episode where we do the D&D, the Ninja Turtle D&D game, but it's... It would be too complicated.
Oh, yeah. We should, though. That would be good.
That would be a good episode.
So, anyway.
So they fight this thing, this beholder thing.
Mm-hmm.
and he tears down the the station because he knocks down all the pillars that are built there.
Yep.
He also can't really move.
No, he can't.
Just a big brain on an altar, and it knocks everything down, and it basically kills itself.
Hey guys, what's up? Ah! He was just trying to say hi.
And then they're back home, and then it's like, cool.
And then Splinter talks about how he's glad that he could smell well, because that's how he was able to save them. He doesn't want to be human anymore. And he says human beings treat each other like crap. I'd rather be a rat. And the episode ends.
Yeah, basically.
And then, you know, Michelangelo goes, well, now that he's a rat, there's more pizza for us. And I was going, being a rat or not being there.
He wasn't eating pizza either way. He likes sushi. You established that. Like,
he can't eat pizza because he's a rat.
For all the writing they do in this episode specifically, what?
Rats love pizza.
Oh, rats love pizza. Rats love anything. Rats love shit. Who gives?
I don't know if they love it.
For all the writing they do in this episode, that's like callbacks to things that happened before, which they do a lot in this episode for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that it starts with him giving Splinter pizza, and Splinter goes, "I don't want any." He's like, "I know you don't." So I got you sushi.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that wasn't called back at the end when all these other little things that really didn't affect anything were called back seems weird.
Yeah, that's weird. They gotta end the episode. And it's gotta end on Michelangelo talking about pizza!
There's also no weird pizzas in this episode. What the hell?
They've kind of dropped that.
I think it picks up later on. I think they're still figuring out their bearings. I think season 3 is the big season.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think season 3, oof.
We gotta get caught up on these, because we're behind.
Season 3 is gonna be rough.
It's gonna be rough.
But everything happened in season 3.
And that's...
All the memorable shit.
And that's episode 14.
Before we go.
Yes.
Season 3, episode 3, is called Attack of the 50-Foot Irma.
Oh my god.
This is gonna be the best episode ever.
Why didn't you call me? Ugh. Oh, that's funny. All right, that's it. Episode's over.
Yeah.
So tune in next time, which should be soon.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. There's some scheduling issues.
There's some scheduling issues. You know, but we got it figured out now. I'm King Cow Mugahead now.
I'm Pizza Toss and Cub.
I'll see you next time. Take care.
Later.